right, Daniel chapter number 10, and when you find that, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And I'll try to bring a thought. I'll tell you, it's not really a challenging thought, and I don't feel very preachy tonight. I don't feel real confident in what I'm trying to preach on. I don't feel like it's real going to be real challenging to you, but we'll say a few things and thank God for what He does for us and go to the house. Daniel chapter 10 and in verse number 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your print. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. And I'll do my best to preach tonight. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. And we'll go to the house. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for grace and mercy and for Calvary and for shedding Your blood for the remission of my sins. I want to thank You tonight, Lord, that You've come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Thank You for the morning hour that we had to worship God together in spirit and in truth. Thank You for the blessing of that time, but that time has passed. And Lord, another hour is set before us. I pray that You'll help me tonight to preach the Word of God. I need God's power, God's blessing. I need that anointing grace of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, O Father, that You'd touch me as You touched Daniel. Lord, give my body the strength that I need tonight to stand one more time and declare to this people the good grace of God, the story of Jesus and His wonderful love. Help me to tell them one more time, Lord, that there's a balm in Gilead and a sympathizer in Zion. There's one that loves them and proved it by laying down your life and taking it up again. I do pray that You'll provide liberty to Brother Hall tonight, save sinners now, and revive the people of God. And I'll thank You and praise You for what You do, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. I want to try to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me. And I'll be honest, He's going to have to help me. I don't feel that preaching. But I pray that He'll touch me a little and let me preach to you to some degree tonight. On this thought, three touches of grace. Three touches of grace. I find in this passage of Scripture that Daniel, a man greatly beloved of God, was touched to the Lord on three separate occasions. And on every occasion that God touched him, there was something accomplished in his soul for the glory of God. The Bible said there in verse number 10 that a hand touched Daniel, and it set him upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands, and said unto Daniel, the man greatly beloved, to understand the words that I speak to thee. And then in verse number 16, the Bible said, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and at that touch the Bible said that the mouth of Daniel was opened, and Daniel began to speak the words of life. And then in verse number 18, Daniel is again touched by one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened Daniel. And the Bible said there that the man spake and said, fear not, Daniel, peace be unto thee. Be strong, Daniel, yea, be strong. And it was there that God gave Daniel the power that he needed to understand the vision and then to perpetrate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find here that Daniel was touched three times by the hand of God. And at every time he was touched, God miraculously worked in the heart and the life of Daniel. May I say to you tonight, if there was ever a time when we need the touch of God upon us, it's in the hour that we're living in. I've heard old men of God preach, and later someone would mention, didn't he have a good touch of God upon him? Now I'll tell you, if there was ever an hour, church, that we need the touch of God, it's upon us, it's in the hour that we're living in. Oh, I'll tell you, when God touches His people, things take place. I read in the New Testament where He touched a casket, and death, my friend, had to lay still while life sprung up out of that casket, and a man stood up, sat up, and began to speak. And may I say it, the touch of the hand of the Master, a life will come to every old dead sinner, my friend. I read in the Bible where Jesus made clay and anointed a man's eyes, and at the touch of the Master's hand, the eyes of the blind man was opened, and he was able to see. And brother, we need that touch of God in our life today. Oh, know that God would touch us with enabling grace, with a mighty grace, if God would touch us with the Holy Ghost of God and fill us in these last days and give us that unction with the Holy One, that we might stand as Daniel did, my friend, and understand the Word of God, that we might perpetrate the gospel of the Lord Jesus to a lost and a dying world that is around us. May I say in the early verses of this that Daniel is under a heavy load. He is burdened. That's something that there's very little of in our churches today. In fact, the Bible said there that Daniel has been mourning, I believe, for 3 full weeks. May I say that we'll never pray right until we first have the ability to mourn over some things that are going on. If you read in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah had to sit down and he had to weep. And he had to sit down and he had to pray and mourn and sit down to pray. But before he could ever pray, he had to weep and mourn. I'm telling you, our prayers will absolutely get nowhere with Almighty God until we're of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and we're able to mourn over the spiritual poverty that we're living in the house of God. Somebody want to say amen? I hope so. We're not babysitting tonight now. I'm going to try to preach a while. May I say that Daniel was mourning over the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. There had been a decree signed, that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. And if you read through the text, you'll find not Daniel, but through Nehemiah and Ezra, that approximately 49,000 of those Jews is all that went back to the homeland. Daniel didn't have the opportunity to go back. He was kept there as a servant of the king of Babylon. He didn't have the privilege. I'll guarantee you he'd have went if he could have. But Daniel is here mourning. God has shown him a vision that refers to his people in the latter days. And Daniel's heart is broken because of the spiritual poverty of his people. Out of all the Jews that were in the land of Babylon, only 49,000 of them had enough grace in their heart and was concerned enough about the beloved city of Jerusalem to go back and to lay the foundation, to build the wall, and to start worship in that city again. I wonder tonight where our burden is at for the house of God. We come to church and go through our routine, sing our 3 or 4 hymns and a special song and take up an offering, and we fail to see the Spirit of God come down. We fail to see the hand of God move upon us. As I sat in here this morning, I thought, my God, I'm glad, thank God, you've touched me and let me preach a while, but, oh Lord, what we need this morning is the power of the Holy Ghost to move through the auditorium of this church and work in the pews of with the people of God to bring our people to a place of mourning and prayer, that we might weep our way to God over the spiritual condition that we're living in. May I say it to you that Jeremiah said it this way. As he sat and watched Jerusalem burn, Jeremiah saw the same captivity Daniel did and Ezekiel did. And as he sat and watched Jerusalem burn, he made this statement in the book of Lamentations. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And that man wept tears. They called him the weeping prophet. And yet it grieved and broke Jeremiah's heart, because there was no concern. There was no concern for the well-being of Jerusalem and the people that were there living in captivity and in spiritual bondage. I wonder what kind of a burden we have in the house of God today. It seems like families can't get to victory. It seems like little troubles just throw us for a loop. Spiritual poverty set in. Doesn't seem like anybody can touch God. There's no worship. There's no praise. There's very little praying going on. I wonder if there'd be a Daniel in this building tonight under the sound of my voice that it would be willing to separate themselves for 3 weeks, that would abstain from pleasant food, that would abstain, my friend, from food and from the luxuries of life, and seek God's face for the spiritual poverty that we have in the house of God. I wonder if there's any like that. Oh, I'll tell you, we'll never do anything for God until we fall under that burden and get under that burden and under that load. This old man of God has been in prayer and fasting and supplication for 21 days. 21 days of mourning. And when the 21 days are over, Daniel at that time begins to pray. May I say again, there's no reason for us to pray until our hearts are first rent in twain, my friend, like the veil was. Until we're broken and grieved and really concerned about our loved ones that's going to hell and concerned about the spiritual poverty in our house and now at the house of God. Until we're concerned, my friend, about our own hearts and life. That's right. Prayed and fasted, that's something we hardly ever do in our Baptist churches anymore. It's pray and fast at all. If the preacher can't get it done, we won't get it done. And don't ask me to do without a meal. My goodness, here's a man that went 21 days. Our Lord went for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil attacked him at the close of that fasting period. What a fool. What a fool. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean? For when we're weak, then are we strong before God." The devil thought, surely he's weak in body and he'll never be able to repel my attack. But I'm telling you, as Dr. Seidler said, the devil is a dumbbell, brother. And in our weakest moments is when our spiritual man is really the strongest. I'll tell you, I ain't got much left in my body, but I feel like I could charge hell with a water pistol. My holy soul has not declined one bit. I'm still a seeking God's face. I'm still a praying. I'm still a looking for God. I'm still praying for revival. I'm still a praying for you. I'm still asking God to divinely intervene. I'm saying it may wear on my body, but I'll tell you, though the outward man perish, hallelujah to God, that inward man is being renewed every day. Hallelujah. Old Daniel is praying and fasting for 21 days. And in that prayer, he sees something that overwhelms him. While he's praying, God sends him a vision that amazes him. And may I say to you that we'll really never see real truth from God until we learn to pray. I can take you back, and every time Daniel had a vision, he had it because he was in prayer, a praying and seeking the face of God. And friend, God will show up and reveal Himself to us if we'll learn to pray. Here's old Daniel praying, and he sees a vision in verse 5. The Bible said he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, not just any man, but a certain man. And he was clothed in linen. His loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet the color of polished brass, and his voice of his words was like a multitude. I've read in men after whom men think that that vision was. And some men think that it was a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, an appearance of deity upon earth. Others believe that it was only an angel that appeared. I'm going to split theological hairs with you here real quickly. I don't believe it was either one of them. I believe it was an appearance of the incarnate Jesus, my friend. A picture of the glorified incarnate Son of God as He was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as He was seen through the eyes of John on the Isle of Patmos, while old John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he got basically the same vision that Daniel got. We wonder why we never see anything from God. Maybe we're never in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. Maybe we can't get in the Spirit. Every time Brother Jerome prays, he say, Lord, get Brother Hall out of the flesh and into the Spirit and let him preach. Now I'm telling you, if we're ever going to see that vision of Christ in that manner, no. And by the way, I don't believe in those visions today. Most men that have visions want to brag about that vision. But and brag about how great of a man of God they are because they've had that vision. I'm going to tell you what Daniel said when he saw the vision. He said, what little bit of comeliness I had turned into corruption. He said, that which was God about me turned into corruption before God. And I fell at His feet like a dead man. I'm going to tell you what men do when they see Jesus. Buddy, they abhor themselves. I know ain't many Baptists ever really caught a glimpse of Him in glory like Isaiah did. The reason I know it, there's not many Baptists who abhor themselves. Now, I know I'm not sticking no feather in my head, but I caught myself a-praying. Asking God to help me accomplish something before I die. Daniel says, I believe maybe in Daniel 11, that people that lived during those days that coming up to the Antichrist, the people of God, they'll do great exploits. And I thought, Lord, what have I done? I've accomplished nothing for God. My friend, I'm telling you, it's time that we, like Daniel, separated ourselves under prayer and fasting that God might reveal His will to us in these last days. Brother, it's about over. Amen. I've heard men say, Brother Robert, I'm going to do this when I see Jesus. I'll shout and run a mile. I've said that. But I'm going to tell you what Daniel done. His comeliness was turned to corruption. He lost all energy and strength and power. He couldn't even get up off of his face under his own power until a hand touched him and set him upright on the palms of his hands and his knees. Are you listening? Oh, we need a touch today. But we'll never get the touch of God until we get in a position to get that touch. Huh? And we'll never get in a position to get that touch until we learn to fast and mourn and pray and seek the face of God. For if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen to God. And while old Daniel was in that position, his comeliness was gone. He retained no strength, but yet he could hear a voice. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, thank God, that whatever condition we're in, we don't go far enough down the tube that we can't hear the voice of the Son of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And old Daniel heard that voice. And by the way, I want to say this. I want to retract myself. Why I don't believe that necessarily, and I don't believe this necessarily, the hand that touched Daniel, I don't believe was the hand of the man that he saw in the vision. Because the man that he saw in the vision had been warring, or the man that touched him, rather, had been warring with the prince of Persia and had to have help from Daniel or from Michael. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that the Son of God needs no help from Michael to overcome the prince of Persia. He is already on the cross of Calvary, conquered the chief of devils, Beelzebub himself, and he certainly doesn't need any help from Michael. So I believe the vision and the hand are separate. The vision, the incarnate Jesus, the hand that touched him, a divine intercessor from above that came, as Michael did, I said, in the morning hour to Mary, that came and touched him and caused him to set upright. And that, and when Daniel saw that, he was completely overwhelmed. He couldn't believe what his eyes had seen. It amazed him. Now, I'm going to tell you, it might amaze some of you what God had revealed to you if you'd learned to pray. If you'd learn really to get after God and get hungry after God. If we'd ever get as a heart that pineth after the water brooks. That our heart would pine after God in that way. If we'd ever seek God with all of our heart, and we'll never find Him until we do seek Him with all of our heart. Brother Steve told me Friday, I believe it was. He said, "Preacher," he said, "we're playing you tape on the preacher's hour. I mean, on the supper time hour." And he said, "I can't believe it." He said, "You're preaching. Have you found him yet?" And the message is 2.5 years old. And 2.5 years ago, I was asking you, had you found Jesus yet? Have you found him yet? Son, I'm telling you, if you'll learn to pray and seek his face, you won't have to worry about finding him. He'll find you. He found Daniel and came to Daniel. And I'm going to try to hurry along. And he touched him. And he set old Daniel up upon his knees and upon the palms of his hands, on all fours like a dog. And he said unto me, that man spake unto Daniel, and said, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak." May I say to you, the first touch that he received was a touch of understanding. Friend, I'm afraid today that people do not really understand the Word of God. We have got such a dim view of the Bible and what it really says. That's why we have a hard time believing it and putting our faith in it. We don't really understand what it says, but I'm telling you, there is a touch that can come from the Holy Ghost that can give you understanding in the Bible. I'll never forget when we went through Bible college, Brother Steve. They told us, fellas, always pray for light. Pray for understanding. Seek God's face for a little unction. Ask God to reveal truth to you from that Bible. And here's Daniel that has seen the end of his people. And really it was the 70th week of Jeremiah and all of the troubles and the chaos. And Daniel's heart was grieved and broken because all he saw was the trouble and chaos that come upon his people. And that's why some of you sit there with your lips on the floorboard on the floor tonight, buddy. Probably stepped on your lip in the floorboard of your car coming to church tonight. Huh? It's because all you see is the day of gloom and the troubles around you. Oh, if God could ever give you a little bit of understanding. He said, understand. Understand, and what he wants you to understand is his word. He said, understand the words, Daniel, that I have spoken unto you. And get this. You know what word it was? The very first word. He said, "Oh, Daniel, a man greatly beloved." I would imagine in that 3 weeks of Daniel wrestling in prayer, going hungry, and God hadn't showed up, he probably thought, "My God, God's abandoned me. God's forgot all about me." But that hand that touched him, let him know that from the first day that you begin to pray, God dispatched me on your behalf. But I've been in a battle out yonder, a conflict, wrestling with principalities and powers that you know nothing about, Daniel. I'm telling you, there's a war going on that we know nothing about. Our angels that always behold us are wrestling with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. But rest assured, the first time when you knelt on your knees and the tears ran down your face and you cried out to God for help, that God immediately heard and answered your prayer. It might have took him a while like Effie. It may take him a while to get there. But help's on the way, buddy. Amen to God. Brother Hall, I don't understand what I'm going through. God can give you understanding. I've watched Sister Woodard for months go through what she's going through. And I've watched God help her in the end of it. And I'm going to tell you, it come from a little trust and confidence in God. She may have not understood why Daddy had to get sick. Not really a man of even 70 years of age. Why? We ask that question. Why did a 25-year-old girl and 3 innocent babies burn to death in a fire? Why did 96 people die in a honky-tonk in Maryland or Rhode Island? Why this, Lord? Why that, Lord? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we'll pray, God's able to touch us with some understanding that we'll understand some of these things. I'm going to tell you, I don't know why either. But we'll understand it all better by and by. God can reveal it to you even now. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to God's purpose. I'm about to get to where I could run my head through a wall, even as dead as we are. I'm not really too dead. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm tired in my body, but I'm feeling pretty good in my heart. Amen. That's right. And hey, and God touched old Daniel. And behold, he said, a hand touched me. Every time I read those, and by the way, this is really the third time Daniel's been touched. He was touched in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Touched three times in chapter 10. That tells me five touches of grace right there. I just brought it down to three for your benefit. I didn't want to be here all night tonight. Amen. But oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. I wouldn't be at all surprised if old Daniel is somewhere in glory now singing, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Thank God that he touched me. But when I was lonely and down and out and broken hearted and nobody cared, he touched me. Hallelujah. When I felt ignorant and dumb and couldn't understand, thank God that he touched me. And I didn't know why I was where I'm at and what was going on and why God had brought me here. He touched me. Praise God. And not only touched, but gave them understanding. He said, Dad, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look here. He said, you're a man greatly beloved. I'm going to tell you, I think the first thing he wanted to understand was the fact that Christ loved him. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that ain't very deep. No, but some of you don't understand that. God wants you to know. Oh, man, greatly beloved! God wants you to know that he loves you tonight. That Christ loves you tonight. I want you to understand that first, Daniel. That you may not understand 3 weeks of wrestling. But the first thing God told me to tell you when I got here is he still loves you. Miss Hall sang that song. I believe he sang it at your mommy or daddy's funeral. Huh? That's right. Sang it out in the cemetery, didn't you? That's what I thought. He loved me. He loved me. Jesus loved me. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
God said, Daniel, you don't understand the problem, the captivity, the chaos, the heartache. But I want you to know God loves you.
You're a man greatly beloved. Oh, Brother Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he said this in Ephesians 3, that ye, and I sewed that in, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That word comprehend means understand, don't it? With all the saints, every one of them. God said, Paul said, that God wants every saint to understand this. What is thy breadth and the length and the depth and the height and to know. And to know the love of Christ. Which does what? Come in the house, boys and girls. He said, understand my words, Daniel. And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. You can understand his love. It'll pass a little knowledge to you and give you a little understanding of the conflict we're involved in these last days. That's right. Amen to God. There is a love that passes knowledge. That's right. I'm learning more about my wife all the time. That's why when she's as bad as she is sometimes and gets mean, I love her so much that I've got a little knowledge. And that love helps me to understand her all that much better. Or really, it's the other way around. I think her love for me helps her to understand me a little bit better. And it will. It will. It'll make you, hey, if you understand how much that he loved you, that he spared not his own soul, but laid it down on the cross and took it up again. You can get a hold of the fact that whatever you're going through is no big deal for God. Nothing impossible with him. And just because you're there don't mean God don't love you. You may be having family disputes, financial, is it reverse? stock market may have fell in. Somebody told Benny said the other day he done lost $1,400 in an IRA. I don't see him scratching his head and worried about it. He ain't come down with a nervous breakdown. One of them steps on the way to the throne, friend. Come on in the house. We sold more money away than that when we was out in the world honky-tonking. And didn't think nothing about it. Amen to God. The car quit running. Had a flat tire this morning. Good. Hit a deer last night. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord, that I hit a deer. But thank you even more, Lord, that I had a spare tire. And thank God I had insurance I didn't know I had. Understand them. That love that passes knowledge. There's a love that will help you understand some things, friend. I don't understand sometimes why I'm where I'm at either in my body. But I'm there. It ain't a thing I can do about it. Some of you can't see it all the time, but it's there. Tired. Worn out in body. But I tell you one thing. I've got a new one on the way. Well, yes, I've got a glorified one on the way. I understand that. And He's promised the redemption of the body. He's paid for it too. And He's given us a new body just like that new man living in us. What a God. Well, I said, oh, why do we have to get sick and die? We're going to die one way or another. Amen and amen. Understand my words. I want you to understand the word of love, that Christ loves you. Christ wants you to know, Daniel, that He loves you. I want you to get a hold of this. Christ wants you to enjoy that love. It'd be a terrible thing for Miss Hall and I to live together this 36 plus years and me tell her over and over and over that I love her and never enjoy the love that we have for one another. Never fellowship. Never go out on a date. Never spark. Somebody said, do you spark her? Well, yeah. Son, she winked at me over this afternoon and told me to come off the couch. Got a power and a wink, boy. This is the last time some of you men winked at your wife. Well, them kind of men, I don't have mushy junk. Praise God, I love my wife. My wife loves me. I'm going to enjoy that love. Look here, in that same text that I just read to you out of the book of Ephesians about the height and the depth and to know the love of God that passes knowledge. And the very next verse, Paul said, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, God wants you to enjoy that love. My goodness, Brother George, we live. Son, like mother-in-law's moved in to stay and ain't planning on leaving. Yeah. Praise God, that's right. And like she's got bad breath, body odor, four billy goats living in the closet with her. Some folks do have a few goats in the house, don't they? I've been told. But God wants you to enjoy that love. Son, I'm telling you, we can be happy in the midst of trouble and trial. Heartache and storm. Woo-wee! Just rear back and love it. May I say to you that probably Miss Hall and I's love for one another was just as strong. We didn't have two dimes, two nickels to rub together. That's what it is right now. You don't have to have a whole lot to enjoy love. I'm going to tell you, the poorest of the poor can enjoy love for one another. And the poorest of the poor can enjoy their love they have with the Lord Jesus. Oh, man, if God just touched some of you tonight and give you understanding that you might understand His love and know that God wants you to know that He loves you and He wants you to understand that mutual love for one another. Oh, He touched me. He gave me understanding. He said, not only understand His words of love, but He said, and I stood upright. That tells me give Him understanding of words of life. Upright means walk, and walk means life. You've got life. You're walking with God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, hey, God wants us to understand those words of life. That is right. That it's a holy life. That it's a happy life. You know what He said? He said, I've come for thee. Unto thee I've come now. For you. I'm doing all this for you, Daniel. Can you imagine how Daniel felt? I wouldn't doubt if he didn't jump up and put his heels together and shout hallelujah to God. To know that a great big God, are you listening, cared enough about him not only to send the heavenly messenger from heaven, but to dispatch the chief of the archangels, even Michael, who someday will battle Satan and all of his emissaries and kick him out of heaven itself. God thought enough of one man. And I'm going to tell you, I think I read somewhere where God said, I'm not any respecter of persons. No big I's and little U's in God's family. Just love them all.
Amen.
And don't love one a whole lot and a lot, some a little less. God loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy life. God done it for you. What's He done for you lately? Apparently done very little for the most of it. Ain't you happy? That holy life, a happy life, it's an honorable life. Son, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be a beggar, son, in the house of God than to be a wealthy man out yonder in the world. You don't have to take a back seat to nobody. You have an honorable life. Children of God, royalty. They don't any royal blood flow through our veins, but we are the royal priesthood. Peculiar people. And a helpful life. Said these words. He said, I'm going to help you, Daniel. I'm going to help you. I want to say secondly, this was more than Daniel could bear. When this man had spoken these words unto Daniel, he said he set his face toward the ground and became dumb. Now that's something. When God touched him and the angel spoke, Daniel just looked to the ground and became dumb. Couldn't hear and he couldn't speak in the presence of deity. But when we're in that position, dumb and can't speak, thank God that He's got a hand that can reach out and touch us all over again. And when that hand touched Daniel, Daniel said, then I begin to speak for him. I'm going to tell you why some folks can't testify. They ain't never been touched. Daniel was dumb. Daniel was like a dumb man. And when God touched him, it opened the strings of his tongue. He began to speak. Amen. And he said unto him that touched him. I want everybody to get a hold of this. He received a touch of understanding, then he received a touch of utterance. He didn't understand the Word of God. So God touched him and gave him understanding, and after he got understanding, it dumbfounded him and he couldn't talk about it. But God touched him and gave him utterance that he could talk about what he understood. Can you get a hold of that? And begin to speak for God. Begin to talk and speak. And the first thing he said, he spoke to the man that touched him and he said, oh my Lord. He said, I'm a man. How is this that I'm full of grace and talk to the God of glory? When was the last time you got your foot in the door of that prayer closet, friend? Got into the presence of the Lord of glory and was able to go to Him. We act like we're afraid of God. I believe that when Esther held out that golden scepter unto Ahasuerus, I don't believe she walked up to that door of Ahasuerus' chamber like this. I believe she walked up boldly with that scepter and extended that golden scepter of God. And Ahasuerus said, your prayers are required. You answered to the half of the kingdom I'll give you. What do you want? I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe when that man hand touched old Daniel and said, just talk, Daniel. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Pray, Daniel. Talk, Daniel. What is it, Daniel, I can do for you? Daniel said, Lord, that I just might confront you about the spiritual poverty of my people. No, I'm going to tell you, there's ever a day when we needed a spirit of utterance. Not only to speak boldly in the prayer closet, but to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'll be done in just a few minutes. Don't leave me. But God touched him first time, gave him understanding of his words. And he touched him a second time and gave him an utterance that he might speak first of all to him, upward and then outward. Friend, I'm telling you, if we ever needed to touch a God to spread the gospel, listen what Brother Paul said. And I'll be brief about this if I can. Brother Paul said in Colossians 4, he said, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bond, that I may make it manifest. That's all to speak. I want to ask you something. Don't answer it. It'll embarrass everybody in here. How many of you have prayed yet about the radio broadcast in North Carolina? I'd venture to say nobody. Nobody. Pray for the man of God that God might give him utterance that he might make known the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel. Oh, there is a gospel to be proclaimed. And folks are dumbfounded about it. Their hearts are locked up. Their minds are blinded. Their eyes are closed. And they're lost and going to hell. But only through the unctionized uttering words of a man of God. I don't mind passing out tracts. I'm all in for it. I'm all in for passing out literature. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Old-time preaching is all that will get the job done. He's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Hallelujah. I know I'm right. Don't try to change my mind. When was the last time that we prayed that God would give utterance to our missionaries? Prayed that God would give utterance to the preacher. Prayed that God would give utterance to ourselves that we might spread the gospel. Here's a man that don't have understanding of the Word. God gives him understanding. Then God gives him the ability to utter what he's understood. Upward first and outward. You know what James Alexander Stewart said? He said, we'll never represent God to men until we first represent men to God. That is, you're going to have to get in a closet of prayer and talk to God about men. Then go out and talk to that man or that woman about God for it to ever work. And it will work. One more touch and I'm done. Look in verse number 18. There came again and touched me one like the appearance of man and strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Be strong, Daniel. Be strong. That touch that's give you an understanding. And that touch that's given you utterance. He said, I've come now, Daniel, that you might be strong and have an unction, a power, if you please, to utter that word. I'm going to tell you something, church. I'm so sick of preachers today, milly-molly grubbing around, don't have an ounce of God on them nowhere, never got alone with God, no touch of God. I'm telling you, the word preached is absolutely meaningless unless it is anointed with the Holy Ghost of God. Here's a man that had no understanding. God gave him understanding of the words to utter. And then he gave him an unction to anoint those words to accomplish what he sent them out. Just like Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, when God told Ezekiel, prophesy to them dry bones. He said, can they live? He said, you know, Lord. He said, prophesy to them, son of man. He prophesied, and there was a noise, bone come to bone, flesh come upon the bone, but they were yet dead. God said, prophesy to the wind, son of man. Come on, breath, I'm going to tell you. We need the breath of God to come in this place tonight and touch our deadbeat souls. give us some life and power and unction and grace to speak forth the Word of God. Listen what Brother Paul again said to that church in Thessalonica in chapter. He said, Then there came again, and no, I've done read that in 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, and 5. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. I want to ask you tonight, do you really know you're saved? Has the Word of God, have I failed? Has the word that I preach not tied to you in power and in the Holy Ghost with much assurance? If it has, and we know that we're saved, let's act like it. Has God not touched you and given you unction in your life? Somebody said, oh, I don't need it. Just a preacher. Who told you that? Singers need it. Sunday school teachers need it. Choir needs it. Song service needs it. We need it out in the pews and the pulpit. The unction, the power of God. We need touched. Oh, if God would touch us just once more. I don't have time to go through the New Testament and show you the places that men were touched, nor the Old Testament where they were touched by the hand of God. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If you've ever been touched, you'll never forget it. Miss Patty, I can't do nothing but preach. I don't do a very good job of it, but I can't do nothing but preach. And I'd rather die than preach without God's power. I may lose some of my zip some of the nights when my body grows weaker than it is, but God help my soul. Have unction. I'll never forget a book I read by, what's that old Nazarene fellow's name in there? America's Too Young to Die. Huh? America's Too Young to Die. And you know who. Huh? Leonard Ravenhill. In one of his books, it might have been Why Revival Tarries, might have been the name of the book. One of the chapters is entitled, With All Thy Getting, Get Up. Most Baptists don't know anything about us, and we're satisfied with the routine of life. Know nothing about that holy anointing oil from the apothecary that is able to anoint us and take the understanding that we have and let us utter that understanding with power and with authority in our hearts, our voice. Somebody said just recently that Brother Hall said, you know, when you talk to it, it sounds like you've got a lot more authority than a lot of people. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. My bark's worse than my bite. Don't tell the church now. Don't tell the rest of the people. They'll think I'm a cream puff. They'll think I'm a cream puff if you do. I'm really mean. But it was a blessing when somebody said, Brother Hall, you talk with authority from that pulpit. I'm going to tell you, it ain't me that talks. It's a God-called, God-anointed man standing in a holy place in the perfect will of God, preaching the gospel. It's what gives it its authority. Hallelujah. Have you been touched? Has God touched you lately? Give you understanding? Give you any utterance? Has he ever give you such unction and understanding that you got in the presence of somebody down on the job and just had to tell them what God told you out of the Bible the night before? The way I was in the morning hour, I couldn't wait to tell you about the morning hour. Unction. Understanding. Three times. And I might say that he was touched with undergirding before that. I forget what the other one was. Has God touched you? If he hasn't, he can. He will. You'll let him. Let's stand together.